We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Not quite. Rami Makhlouf in for Bill again this afternoon. Next 3 days, actually, I'll be in these studios with Radio Joe Zanzola filling in for Bill Michaels. You can tweet me at Rami is tweeting. R-A-M-I-E is tweeting. Jam-packed show this afternoon, including James Jones, former Packers wide receiver, now NFL Network analyst. He's going to join us at 12:05, top of the next hour. Joining us right now, though, from the NFL Network is Tom Pelissero. Tom, how are you this afternoon, man? Long time no talk.
No kidding, man. We have football. 6 months of everything else, and we finally have football.
It feels good, doesn't it? I said on Sunday, I was watching the games. I had just had an omelet and a waffle, hot, fresh out of the iron. I had a beautiful fall breeze blowing through my window. My Bears had just gotten a win, and the NFL Red Zone had tight one-score games on rotation for a good 20 minutes. And I said, this doesn't feel like 2020. I'm skeptical if any of this is real or if I'm still in a dream, Tom Pelissero.
Now, there's some of that, too, that, you know, I think at home, because I've watched several games now at home and I've been to a game in person. At home, as long as you don't look at the empty seats, it feels real.
It does.
The NFL Films did a phenomenal job of culling that 4 years of tape from every building, so you get those kind of bursts of crowd noise. I think the one thing that people may not know is that's not in the stadium. That's not what is being played inside the building.
Oh,
that's
really?
Strictly on the broadcast and being controlled. So in the stadium, they just play this. They say it's a 70-decibel murmur is how they refer to it. It's basically just this pre-recorded loop of just a static,
you know,
like being in a Major League Baseball game when there's no action. And so you just kind of have this low hum. But, you know, up in the press box, it's almost dead silent. I mean, you could hear, I was at the Vikings-Packers game, and you could hear Aaron Rodgers, every call he was making at the line of scrimmage, you could hear the sidelines reacting to a call, kind of like you're almost at a high school game. I mean, it is eerie at times, you know, especially when, you know, if there's an injury and then they turn off the murmur and then it is absolutely silent inside the stadium. You know, probably the best part about that for me on Sunday, you know, hate losing, not being able to go into locker rooms, interview people on the field because none of that is allowed. Reporters aren't allowed in either of those places. But leaving the stadium, having no traffic and being back on my couch by 3:45 watching other games, I was like, that's not, you know, again, I don't like losing the other stuff, but this, I'm already in sweatpants less than an hour after the game ended. That's not all bad.
You know, Tom, I don't need to tell you this. You live in Minnesota. In my short time living there so far, the one complaint that I've had, and I complained many a times when I was on the air, though, is people don't know how to drive, at least not in the Twin Cities metropolitan area. And while I was still working and everybody was quarantined, my commute from my apartment to work went from, like, 16 minutes down to 7 or 8 minutes. And I said a number of times, like, the circumstances are unfortunate, but I could kind of get used to not dealing with all the bad drivers that are usually out there on the streets.
I don't find the driving here to be that much worse than other places. I mean, there's definitely places I've been to where it's a heck of a lot worse, but you're right. I mean, even at, I've left at my house at 9 a.m. There's no traffic. You know, it's just, there's so many things about the world at large that are just unusual. Just the routine with which we just, you know, put on masks. And, you know, I talked about with Kirk Cousins about that recently, and I know he you know, made a comment that I think a lot of people took out of context on Kyle Brandt's podcast, you know, but when I talked to Kirk, he was just like, you know, wearing a mask, it's just like, it's completely a normal part of your life. Like if you walk across the locker room without your mask on, you feel like you're naked. It's weird, you know? And so I don't know how long this goes on, but you know, again, the normality part of it is the NFL has done a really good job with all the protocols, not just the masks, but you know, the social distancing, the testing, the behavioral aspects, the education, you know, regardless of the science, you know, because I'm sure there are people who are going to, you know, debate mortality rates and all those types of things. But if you want football, you had to drive down the cases. And the NFL, from the start of camp, has driven that down to virtually zero. We'll see what the numbers are now coming out of the first games. We'll get a better idea of that by next weekend, kind of whether or not there was any sort of an issue. But, you know, from the Packers' perspective, and I talked to Matt LaFleur about this, they left Green Bay 2 hours later than they normally do for Minnesota. Why? Because guys can't leave the hotel. You fly there, you go into the hotel, you go directly from the hotel to the stadium back to the airport. That's the trip.
Wow.
In Major League Baseball, we're bouncing around to three states over 6 days. It's, you know, you're in and out. You're never going to eliminate the risk, but they've mitigated it about as good as they could, and that's why you have NFL football right now being played across the league with so far very minimal interruptions.
Speaking with Tom Pelissero of NFL Network here on the Bill Michaels Show, Rami Makhlouf in for Bill this midday. And speaking of things that are unusual or abnormal, we saw that on the football field too at US Bank Stadium on Sunday. Not a lot of quarterbacks do what Aaron Rodgers did to a Mike Zimmer-led defense. Tom, was that Aaron Rodgers being back to being Aaron Rodgers, or do they have some issues up north?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. You have to look at this and say the Vikings defense was going to have some growing pains. They didn't have Danielle Hunter. They've moved on from a bunch of veterans, Everson Griffin and Linval Joseph, three of their top corners. You're starting, you know, a third-round draft pick, Cam Dantzler, as a rookie in his first game out. I didn't think the coverage was terrible. The rush was not getting to Aaron Rodgers. There were a lot of times where he was getting the ball out quickly. There were other times where he had time just to sit back there and bounce in the pocket and wait for a guy to come uncovered. I also thought Rodgers was just phenomenal. And it's been interesting because we've talked so much about Rodgers through the course of this offseason and with the drafting of Jordan Love and his reaction and not drafting a receiver and Devin Funchess opting out and are they doubling down in the run game. You know, when you talk to LaFleur about it, he kind of laughs at this idea that they are going to be all runs, because if you go back and you look at the numbers last year, if you take out the, you know, 4 minute drive type of situations where, you know, you go 13-3, there's a lot of times where you're just killing clock. They threw the ball a lot last season. They just were up in so many games that they kind of grinded it out and ran the ball more, and Rodgers didn't have to put everything on his shoulders. But Rodgers himself has said that he took time in this offseason, went back, watched old tape of himself, picking up on some of those little things that he felt he was doing better, you know, maybe 5 years ago when he was on top of his game, and he's tried to apply that. You know, in talking to LaFleur about the camp, he said that, you know, Rodgers has been really decisive. His accuracy has been there. He's been really balanced in the pocket, and he can still get out and use his legs. And I thought that's what you saw. There were times where the coverage was pretty good, and Rodgers just chewed it up. And you also have the reality that when you're a veteran quarterback and an elite quarterback like Aaron Rodgers now, you can do the same things on the road that you do normally at home. How many times have we seen Aaron Rodgers draw a defense offside? Well, you know, he was doing that. He did that twice in US Bank Stadium, which you'd never be able to do
right
if there were crowd noise in the building. But that's a big advantage now for veteran quarterbacks when they're playing away from home, the way that they can analyze the defense and manipulate things. Rodgers is as good as anybody at that, and you saw him do that repeatedly on Sunday.
Should we be surprised let me rephrase a question, Tom, and I know the answer to this question when it comes to the NFL is almost always yes. Did we overreact to Aaron Rodgers' struggles last year and the first year with Matt LaFleur? Is what we saw in week one just a guy getting comfortable and familiar with the system and his coach's play calling and the players around him? A lot of new faces around Aaron Rodgers over the last couple of years. Is this just sort of a natural progression of him getting back to the guy that we all saw dominate this league for a while there?
Well, again, they went 13-3, so there weren't a ton of times that Rodgers had to put the team on his back. You're looking at the numbers. He was still statistically pretty efficient, but obviously, you know, didn't throw for 5,000 yards or anything. You know, again, I go back to what LaFleur told me about the accuracy and the balance in the pocket. I mean, that's kind of one of the things, and I've talked with Aaron about it before. you know, he feels like, you know, there's things he's done to adjust his mechanics through the years. We've seen him so many times throw with his feet not necessarily in the, you know, the ideal position, and he can do that because he's an amazing talent. You know, he can throw off balance. He can throw from different arm angles. But if you watch him in that game on Sunday, he was really throwing with balance. He was, you know, throwing certainly with good mechanics. I think it's going to be interesting to see now, you know, are there some of those things that he was able to pick up on with himself and get back to basics a little bit mechanically and things like that. I just thought he was really impressive in terms of the accuracy. And, of course, mentally he's always as sharp as anybody. Certainly the year two in the system can't hurt. Also year two developing, having Marquez Valdes-Scantling healthy, having Alan Lazard another year working with him. And Davante Adams, I mean, it's, you know, note to self, cover number 17. They could have gone to that well 50 times if they wanted to. You know, those two have a kind of a magical connection. And then when you can run the football well enough with Aaron Jones and company to keep defenses honest, there's no reason this Packers offense shouldn't be really dangerous in 2020.
What was the most surprising thing you saw throughout the league in week one, Tom? What stood out to you?
Well, I thought that, I mean, offensively, the fact there were, I believe, more touchdowns than there have been scored in a lot of years offensively in week one, I thought that was interesting because your concern is always no preseason games, a more compact training camp. Is that going to lead to sloppy play? And you saw some sloppy play. I mean, I don't think anybody would say that Chiefs-Texans game was a thing of beauty in the Thursday night opener. You know, the Steelers-Giants game, you know, was kind of up and down in terms of the efficiency with the offenses, but there were a lot of points scored. There was some excitement there. You know, I think that it's a growth process for everybody. It will be through the season, and that includes the officials. You know, there were a couple of controversial calls, the one in the Bengals-Chargers game on A.J. Green, the one late in the Rams-Cowboys game on Michael Gallup, where did he really push Jalen Ramsey, or does Ramsey deserve an Academy Award for kind of reacting a second late? You know, to the whatever stiff arm you might have gotten there on that pass route. So there's the officials didn't have any preseason reps either. I thought it was a good start. You didn't sit back after week one and go, boy, that was ugly. Oh, they're going to regret not having preseason. They should have delayed the season. No, it kind of looks like what week one has looked like. You know, no coach is going to say ever, certainly since the collective bargaining agreement that began in 2011, that they have enough practice time or enough time in pads. Overall, I thought it was a solid week one. I think that the injuries are something they're going to look at. There were a lot of soft tissues. There were a lot of hamstrings. That's something teams have guarded against since the preseason. And you're also going to see now some interesting decisions, especially with the new injured reserve rules for this year only, where you have unlimited return spots from injured reserve, and you can return in 3 weeks instead of 8 weeks. So all of a sudden you're seeing all these guys who never in the past would have landed on IR with, you know, little hamstrings or ankle sprains or whatever. They're all going on IR. You know, that used to be like, oh my gosh, the guy's going to injured reserve. Well, now teams are using some of those roster mechanics, and it'll be interesting to see now, does that lead to teams being a little more conservative, saying, hey, we're early in the season, we can put a guy down for 3 weeks, bring somebody else up, give him a little extra time than maybe we think he needs, and just try to be safe and get these guys through the rest of the season.
You just reminded me when you mentioned the altered IR this year. Do we know what's up with Danielle Hunter? Have they given any details as far as what the injury is and how long he'll be out for the Vikings?
They have not given any details, certainly publicly, with Danielle Hunter. The hope, as I understand it, is that he will be back when he's eligible, which is after week three, so about 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
That he'll be back at this time. It's something, though, that he has been managing for about a month now, and we'll see exactly what the timeline is. Again, that's another player where, you know, you're erring even more than normally. Teams generally err conservatively early in the season, but when you have that shorter training camp, you didn't have a spring. Guys weren't doing football drills. There were no OTAs, no mini camps back in May and June. A lot of teams are looking at this and just saying, we're going to take the time that we think we need. Having said that, the Vikings were hopeful that Hunter was going to be back sooner than this. They were hoping he was going to be back for week one. And I think that when you look at that opener, certainly you can say Danielle Hunter was badly missed.
That's Tom Pelissero, NFL Network. Follow him on Twitter, @TomPelissero. And he's just always on the channel. Like every time I turn on NFL Network, there's Tom Pelissero making me smarter about football. And I appreciate it and enjoy it every time, Tom. Thanks a lot, man. I'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, Remy.
And he joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. They're hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Give them a call at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. We have a little bit more clarity in the Giannis situation, and I think it's promising. Well, I'll tell you what it is right after this. It's Rami Makhlouf in for Bill Michaels on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at Quick Trip. You can enter the Packers opening drive sweepstakes, and you could win a 2021 Chevy Trailblazer. You enter the sweepstakes by purchasing any 20-ounce Coca-Cola or a pothole pizza with your Quick Rewards card at Quick Trip. You purchase both of them at the same time, you get 10 bonus entries. How about that? Each weekly winner is going to have a chance to win $25 per yard and the Packers opening drive. Plus, then you're entered to win the 2021 Chevy Trailblazer. No purchase necessary. See store for details. The Pothole Pizza, the official pizza of your Green Bay Packers, and it is only available at Quick Trip.
That's Bill Michaels. He's got the rest of the week off. Rami Makhlouf in for Bill Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You may remember me from my days hosting the big show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, if you're in the Milwaukee area, or if you listen on the radio.com app. Speaking of that radio.com app, it's free. You can go and download it right now on your smartphone or whatever device you might use to listen to the Bill Michaels show. Search Bill Michaels Sports and favorite us and listen wherever you are, whenever you are. Also, check out BillMichaelsSports.com. Link there to listen as well. We'll talk with James Jones, former Packer, now NFL Network analyst, coming up at 12:05. See if he's still rocking the hoodie with the sport coat. Love that look. I was thinking about adopting that look. I'm in the Milwaukee Comedy Fest next month, and putting together my outfit. I was thinking, Joe, about going with the hoodie and sport coat, but not everybody can pull that off. I'm going to ask James Jones if I can pull that off when he joins me coming up at 12:05. But Eric Name of The Athletic, who you heard weekly here on the Bill Michaels show throughout the basketball season, he has the inside scoop on the meeting between Giannis and the powers that be, Mark Lazary and the brain trust of the Milwaukee Bucks after this season ended. And it was a 3-hour meeting where they discussed a wide range of topics, the state of the franchise, the ins and outs of this past season. I'm reading directly from Eric's article right now, and the way it all went wrong at the end, the bubble experience, offseason priorities, the looming question of when the NBA's next season might start, and whether there will be fans on hand when the games begin. That, according to Eric Name of The Athletic, is what was discussed between Mark Lazary, the brain trust of the Bucks, and Giannis Antetokounmpo in a 3-hour sit-down at his luxurious home. And it comes down, according to Eric, to these factors as far as Giannis's future with the Milwaukee Bucks. A matter of trust, that he trusts this organization and that brain trust of putting together a championship team and organization around him. Assessing the roster. The coaching factor, whether or not Coach Bud is the guy moving forward. And according to Shams Charania, also The Athletic, it appears that Bud is safe for the time being as the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. If Shams is right, I'm sure they told Giannis that in that meeting and what the path forward is now for the two parties, Giannis and the Bucks. And all that, like, that's a really good and thorough conversation, and I'm glad they had it, and Eric seems optimistic that Giannis is going to be a Buck at least for 2021. But how, and maybe it was discussed, and that word didn't get to Eric, or the editor took it out of the article. How in a 3-hour meeting, and I guess there are rules against bringing this up, so maybe that's why it's not in the article. Because even if there are rules against bringing it up, you'd still bring it up. Did not the extension or the offer of a supermax contract to Giannis come up and whether or not he plans on accepting that? Because that really is all that matters here right now, isn't it? Like when I believe Giannis when he says he wants to be a Buck long term. But I'm sure there were people in Oklahoma City who believed Kevin Durant when he said he wanted to be a member of the Thunder for the rest of his career. And they believed LeBron in Cleveland when he said that he was going to bring a championship home to Cleveland, then took his talents to Miami before eventually coming back and, yes, bringing a championship to Cleveland. But nobody knew that at the time. It was just heartbreak. You just lost your hometown hero. So I want to. I believe Giannis, and I want to strongly believe Giannis. But I'm not dumb enough to sit here and think that it's not a possibility that Giannis is not playing basketball for the Milwaukee Bucks in 2022. I think it's almost a certainty that he'll be around in 2021, because even if he doesn't accept the Supermax offer this year, it seems like unless he just tells the Bucks, I'm definitely also not signing it next year, I'm leaving, that they're going to ride this thing out and risk losing him in free agency next year. Even if he gives them I'm not going to sign it now, but maybe next year we'll talk. It sounds like the Bucks are willing to take that risk from everything that I'm reading. And I don't know that I'd go down that road. I need to know right now if I'm the Milwaukee Bucks, even though I'm not technically allowed to talk to him about it, and I signed waivers saying I didn't. I need to know right now if Giannis is taking that Supermax contract. Have to know that. Need to know that. That is not something I can wait and see on. I need to know now for my own mental health, if nothing else, if I'm Mark Lazary and the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, he already made perfectly clear to Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports that he does not want to get traded. And if he asks, you know, hey, do you want a trade out? Are you going to request a trade to play for a contender? And he said, absolutely not. I'm not gonna be like some of these other players who are just gonna go around the wall. I want to go right through the wall. Rami, I still believe today Giannis will be a Buck for a long time. He might take a different contract. He may not take the Supermax because of where the salary cap structure is the next couple of years.
Do you think he might do something similar to the contract LeBron took,
yes,
his second go-around in Cleveland, that gave him an out after 3 years?
Yes. I think at the end of the day, it's all about how much money can you make. And you know damn well his agent's telling him that. We got to learn a little bit about his agent, too. What was it, like a year or two ago? There was that behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah, that was at the start of the 2019 playoffs, that documentary that they put out.
I think it was 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
Wasn't it 60 Minutes? Yeah, we got to learn about his agent, and his agent, he's a pretty particular guy, and he's really looking out for Giannis in many different ways. So I just think he's telling Giannis, look, you want to be a Buck, fine, but just, you might want to hold off on this whole Supermax thing for a while, because you're probably not going to make as much money
That's something I could accept if I'm the Bucks. I don't know that if Giannis comes to me and says, hey, I'm going to test the free agent waters next. I don't want the Supermax now, and I'm going to test the free agent waters next year, but you guys are the front runners. I want to stay in Milwaukee, but I also want to hear what other teams have to offer and have to say in free agency next year. I don't know that that's a risk that I can run. The maybe the best, at worst, second best player that's ever played for your franchise leaving for nothing a season from now. And I'm sitting squarely on the fence on this thing right now. I don't know what I would do if I'm the Bucks and Giannis comes to me with that, because I don't want to, just throw away any chance that I have of keeping this guy long-term, but also I can't let him leave for nothing. That's always my major concern. When we get to the last days of a contract for a superstar, you always want to keep him. You always want to keep him, especially when it's a homegrown, lovable, hardworking guy like Giannis. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Giannis is everything you want to root for in a professional athlete. Like, beyond just what he does on the court, Giannis is everything you want to root for in a professional athlete and a human being, to our knowledge. I don't know him personally, and there's always stuff we don't know about guys that can shock us later. But what we know about Giannis right now, he is everything you want to root for.
He's a different breed.
But at the same time, I can't let a guy that good leave and get nothing in return.
Well, and the Bucks should not let that happen. And Giannis, I think, has a duty to be clear about that to the ownership.
Like, remember Something About Mary, when he asks the girl to the prom at the beginning of the movie? And she says, maybe, but I'm waiting for so-and-so to ask me. Like, I get Giannis is the prom queen in this scenario, and you want to hang on to that thread of hope, that chance, if he says, maybe I'll re-sign with the Bucks next year, but I want to hear what these other guys have to offer. You know what I mean?
But the thing is, I don't know if a lot of these teams
are going to
be able to...
Sometimes just asking another girl to the dance is probably your best way to go.
But first of all, these teams have to figure out how much flexibility do they have in their caps in order to give Giannis a significant lucrative contract. But no matter what, it's not going to be a supermax. The Bucks have that luxury. All these other teams do not. So regardless, Giannis would make more money anyway with the Bucks than he would with these other teams. There's so much evidence, Rami, that we've seen with Giannis over the last couple of seasons, couple of off seasons, to suggest that he's not about playing with other superstars. He doesn't want to practice with these guys during the off season. In his case, he should be the recruiter. He should be the one bringing some of these guys to him instead of those guys recruiting him. Giannis has always been his own guy. He's always been this blue-collar guy. I am going to work my tail off until I get all the way to the top. And I think that certainly carries over into next season with the Bucks. He is thinking about, how do we get better? How do we win a title? And if that means significant changes have to be made to this roster to make it happen, so be it. It's probably going to happen, because that was made clear in their conversation with Lazary. I just think 99% of me, Rami, says Giannis is going to be here.
I don't think Giannis doesn't want to recruit other superstars. Like, that was an accusation made against Derrick Rose when he was playing for the Bulls and they were trying to recruit Carmelo Anthony and every other superstar that hit the free agent market. And I think that was a fair criticism of Derrick Rose, because he's kind of a reclusive, introverted type of guy. He's not the type of guy to pick up the phone and call dudes and, hey man, come play basketball with me. You know what I mean? That's just not how he's made. I don't think that's the case with Giannis. I think the reason you don't see Giannis really recruit is because he is a supremely loyal guy. And sometimes loyalty can kind of blind us or sort of muddle our vision. And maybe he sees more in Chris Middleton than is actually there because he loves the dude. You know what I mean? Maybe he sees more in Eric Bledsoe because he loves the dude. So he goes to the organization, and instead of, you know, going and talking to, I don't know, pick a superstar who's hit free agency in the last few years, Kyrie Irving or whatever, instead of going to those guys and saying, hey man, come play with me, instead he's going to bat for his guys who are already here, and he's saying, hey, give Chris Middleton big money. Give Eric Bledsoe the extension. You know what I mean? I think that's if there's a problem with Giannis and the roster around him, like if he holds any of the blame for the roster that's around him, if it's not good enough a supporting cast, that's what it is that he's been maybe a little bit too loyal to the guys that are here rather than looking outside and going, maybe bring that guy here. Instead of paying Chris Middleton, bring that dude here. You know what I mean? Instead of giving Eric Bledsoe the contract extension, go get Chris Paul or whatever the case might be. You know what I mean? That if Giannis owns any of the blame for this roster, I think that might be what it is. But not that he's not recruiting per se.
But I think if John Horst were to trade Chris Middleton, I don't know how the hell you'd be able to do it. But if he traded Chris Middleton, I think that hurts Giannis's chances of staying here long term. Yep. Because they signed Chris Middleton for that very reason, to keep Giannis happy.
And I could see that being a problem in the beginning, but Giannis, remember, he wasn't, according to some reports, loved Jason Kidd and wasn't happy with that move. But when he saw, hey, I can win with Mike Budenholzer, his loyalty to Jason Kidd altogether went out the window, but he was just like, okay, maybe another guy can come in and do the job. I think Giannis just wants to win. And while his feelings might be hurt if they traded Chris Middleton, if it was to bring in, I don't know, name a superstar who could help him win a championship, he'd get over it.
But how many times, though, do you make a change? Like, let's say they just fired Mike Budenholzer. Okay, you fire Jason Kidd, you fire Mike Budenholzer. At some point, Giannis has to say, got to stop making these changes. I like the situation here. I just feel like some of these parts were just fine. We don't need to change it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
We'll see. And we're going to talk with Eric Name from The Athletic tomorrow, who had a behind-the-scenes look at the three-hour meeting between the Bucks, Brain Trust, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. You can read that at theathletic.com, and Eric will join us tomorrow on the show. Other side of this quick break, back to some Packers football with Dave Schrader of WBAY in Green Bay. He joins the Bill Michaels Show. Rami in for Bill right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Thank you.
Bill Michaels Show statewide on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Rami Makhlouf in for Bill this afternoon. And the next 3 days through Friday, I'll be here for Bill, who has the rest of the week off. We'll be getting you ready for Packers and Lions for much of that time. And joining us to do just that from WBAY-TV in Green Bay is Dave Schrader. Dave, how are you this afternoon, man?
I'm doing well, doing well.
Is everything cool? Everything around Aaron Rodgers good enough to win a Super Bowl, and we just overreacted throughout the draft and the offseason, and we now owe Brian Gutekunst and the Brain Trust at 1265 an apology?
You know, the defense is still a question mark. The run defense is still a question mark. A lot of big plays given up in the fourth quarter last Sunday. But the offense is certainly looking good. Everyone talked about the lack of drafting a receiver, Devin Funchess opting out, running it back, and you worried about it. But then you heard Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur talk about MVS's great training camp and the second step with Alan Lazard after last year's breakthrough season. And you said, how much of this is talk? How much of this is real? It sure looked real for 1 week. Packers put up 43 points, and you don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill, overreact to one performance, but this is a Packers offense that in the last 5 years combined had only topped 40 points twice. So that's definitely a positive sign. If they can build success off of that, it could be a really good year.
How much of that, and I think there is something to be said about second and third year development of those wide receivers you just mentioned, because that's usually when NFL players make that huge leap in development. But how much of this do you think can be attributed and chalked up to sort of a different Aaron Rodgers? He's talked a lot about this offseason sort of looking inward and spending some time on himself and self-improvement and just being more centered heading into this season. How much do you think that's sort of an overplayed storyline, or do you think a happier, more centered Aaron Rodgers equals a happier, more centered, more productive Packers offense?
You know, as crazy and hokey as it all sounds with Aaron Rodgers, there might be something to it. You know, if you feel good, you play good.
Right.
The mental headspace you're in has a lot to do with how you perform, and I'm a real believer in that. I mean, look at any sport. Golf. Golf is a game where they say the longest distance is golf is the 6 inches between your ears. While football's a different game, I think the mental side of it is huge in any sport you play.
And he just looks more comfortable. And it's only one game, and you're right, we shouldn't overreact. But it's the NFL, and we only get so many games to overreact,
right,
too.
We only get 16 games to overreact.
Exactly. So let's go ahead and overreact. And another thing that I think folks should have somewhat expected when they were scratching their heads at the struggles of Aaron Rodgers year one under Matt LaFleur is, you know, even Aaron Rodgers needs time to familiarize himself with the playbook and get comfortable in a system and get comfortable with some new faces around him. That's got to be part of the reason that we saw what we saw in week one, right, Dave?
Right. Even Aaron Rodgers isn't a football supercomputer. He may be really smart and really like a sponge, able to soak up all sorts of information, but everything takes time. And beyond that, what we saw in the opener, yes, there were bits and pieces we saw splashes of last year, but all that jet motion that they used to keep the defense off balance, a lot more chess pieces at the tight end position, I think all those things have a big, great deal to do with their success as well as the comfort. I think the pieces are in place now to do everything that Matt LaFleur wants to do.
Talking with Dave Schrader, WBAY-TV sports reporter up in Green Bay, Rami Makhlouf in for Bill this afternoon. Now, you mentioned at the top of the interview that defense looks like it's still got some problems. Do you think that could be the wrench in any Super Bowl plans that the Packers and Packers fans might have? Is that some of the same things that haunted them last year and ultimately ended the season in San Francisco seem to rear its ugly head again in that game against Minnesota? How worried are you about this defense, Dave?
It could be a big problem. You hate to look at garbage time in the same way that you view, say, the first three quarters of a competitive game. And I'm trying to wrap my head around, were those garbage time yards? Were those garbage time points? Because the Packers go up 3 scores, Vikings go down, get a touchdown, 2-point conversion. You go back up 3 scores, another touchdown, 2-point conversion. So it's not really, truly garbage time, but it's a lot of just fluff yards and points, you'd like to think. But then again, that first Vikings touchdown drive was like a hot knife through butter. Two big plays to Thielen, Cook just running at will, going in the end zone untouched. Those are problems you're going to have to sort out. The fact is, though, the Packers had really tightened things down until that fourth quarter when they just let the Vikings run rockshod over them and do whatever they wanted.
Anything about the Lions worry you? I mean, that was a comical
Adrian
collapse.
Peterson, man.
He always scares Packers fans, doesn't he?
That dude's 35. He's too old. Well, last year he had 76 yards in a score at Lambeau Field for Washington. The year before he had over 100 yards and two scores against the Packers out in Washington. He's older, but I firmly believe Peterson's bet back that wants Emmett Smith's career rushing record. He's about 4,000 yards shy. Everyone says, how is he going to get it? Because he's never going to be a starter anywhere. He'd have to have four more 1,000-yard seasons on average to get there. Well, this dude's motivated, and he's always extra motivated for the Packers. Two things you know when you face Adrian Peterson. He's going to score a touchdown, and he's going to fumble the ball once. You just hope that you can limit what he does and take advantage of the one time he coughs it up.
Yeah, I mean, that's really...
As for the collapse of the Lions, I still don't think the Lions could win, even if... I remember in 2012 when Peterson won his MVP, he had over 200 yards in just over two quarters at Lambeau Field. They handed him the ball one more time the rest of the game and lost it.
The Lions
don't know how to win games. They blew 6 fourth-quarter leads last year. They blew a, 23-6 lead in the fourth quarter against the Bears last week. So for as much as Adrian Peterson's the thing to worry about, these Lions don't know how to win.
Peterson, he's human enough to see a decline in his production, but he might be just a freak enough to stick around long enough to get that Emmitt Smith record. You know what I mean? Just be good enough to stick around a few more years and get, I don't know, 600-800 yards per season in a backup role where you're the third down back or whatever the case might be. You're right. He might be able to stick around and do that. But other than that, you just kind of you look at the Lions and go, well, even if they get a lead, they more times than not, especially under Matt Patricia, will find a way to give that lead back to their opponent.
Yeah, I mean, 3-12-1 was the record last year with 6 blown fourth-quarter leads, including 2 against the Packers.
I don't understand how that guy kept his job. I'm not the one to call for anyone to be fired, but that type of production usually does not lead to an NFL head coach being invited back for his third year at the helm. That's Dave Schrader, WBAY-TV in Green Bay. You can follow him on Twitter at Schrader, WBAY, and our guest for the last few minutes here on the Bill Michaels Show. Really appreciate it, Dave. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Dave Schrader joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. I'm scrambling again for the read. I got to knock this rust off, Joe. I'm not working.
Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair.
I had it. I just found it.
80-plus years they've been getting it done. You can call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
We'll hit a quick break. Look, I love baseball. There's two things I hate in baseball. The Cardinals, I yelled about them in the first hour. And Rob Manfred. I'll yell about him next. Rami Makhlouf in for Bill Michaels and more right after this on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers host the Lions on Sunday. Detroit coming off an embarrassing 27-3 loss to the Bears after blowing a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter. Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari.
About Detroit, they do play us up. They are a tough football team. They play hard. It's just they have a hard time getting over that hump.
Veteran guard Lane Taylor tweeted out a message to Packer fans and pledged he'll be back after suffering a season-ending injury to his right knee against the Vikings. Packers center Corey Linsley.
We feel for him, man. He was having a hell of a camp. He's playing well. We feel for him at this time and do everything we can to support him.
Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Injury that he had last year and to get to a position where he was in our starting lineup. Certainly he will be missed, and I feel bad for him as an athlete, as a man.
Left guard Lucas Patrick left the game with a shoulder injury. Rookie John Runyon filled in at right guard after Taylor was carted off the field.
Two of your teammates going down, something you never want to see, and it was unfortunate, but just stayed ready and tried to do my best when my time came and felt pretty good about it.
In Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Rami Tommy McLaughlin for Bill today, tomorrow, and Friday. James Jones will join us at the top of the next hour. Major League Baseball has made their playoff plans, and I only have like a couple minutes to get into this, so maybe I talk about why I think this kind of favors the Brewers tomorrow when I'm in for Bill Joe, but today I just want to talk about how bad Rob Manfred is at his job in these couple minutes that we have, because he admitted after they forced the 60-game season onto the players' union after the two sides went back and forth that this is what it was going to be all along, that that was all just posturing and positioning, and it was going to be a 60-game season all along. And now, because of that, Major League Baseball and their schedulers have been backed into a corner where, despite, you know, teams needing a week off because they had a COVID outbreak in their clubhouse, instead of having time to make up those games later, and Brewers fans are feeling this now as much as anybody with 10 games left against the Cardinals in the last 2 weeks of the season, that you didn't give yours because you postured and positioned yourself for so long when you knew it was going to be a 60-game season all along. You didn't give yourself a lot of wiggle room for makeup dates, and now we're finding out that the dates are all set for the postseason, and you didn't even give yourself wiggle room for days off during series. There will be no days off during series. So the first round, three-game, best-of-three series, that's going to be played in 3 days. The seven-game series are going to be played in 7 days. The only off days that are going to happen in the Major League Baseball playoffs in 2020 will be in between series, which just completely changes and throws a wrecking ball into the roster construction that teams spent all offseason doing, because you don't plan on playing seven games in 7 days in October. And the way that you use your pitchers, any plans you had for that in October have been completely blown up, all because Rob Manfred wanted to drag his feet, posture, and position in negotiations that he knew how they were going to end all along, and now has given no wiggle room in the schedule. It is preposterous what they are going to ask these guys to do in October.
But they're in bubbles.
And there is baseball, so I really can't be upset. I have baseball to watch while I'm home and largely unemployed. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, James Jones, former Packers wide receiver, NFL Network analyst. He's going to join us, talk some Packers right after this.
Wisconsin Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.